Okay. Well, God bless you. You know, every human being on the face of the earth that ever lived and will ever live in the future all have one thing in common. They will make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Now, can we say amen to that? I mean, we've all made mistakes.
Amen.
It's in the nature of man, and everyone does. The thing is, how do you handle those mistakes? Man's inability to lovingly deal with them has caused deaths to millions, and their hurt and pain have touched billions of people. I mean, you think about all the wars and conflicts and reasons why there's murders and things going on. They can't handle mistakes. They can't handle it. Man's nature is to criticize, complain, and the art of finding fault over people is his major way of handling it. Looking, pointing fingers at somebody else. It's not me, but it's you. But there's one thing that can change that, that makes all the difference in the world, and that's the power of forgiveness. And what I want to share this morning, I titled The Power of Forgiveness and Unforgiveness. Because when we're not forgiving, there are results to it, negative results. But when we are forgiving, there's great results. That's for sure. People talk about world peace. You know what the key to that is? Forgiveness. If people could forgive one another. Remember the story in the Bible where the Pharisees, they wanted to trap Jesus, and they brought a woman who was caught in adultery and threw her on the ground in front of him and says, well, what should you do here? What does the law say? And Jesus, he kind of drew in the sand a little bit, and what did he say? What comments did he make when he looked up at those guys? Let him who is without sin cast the first stone, right? And what happened to those guys? They left. They were guilty. They were guilty. But think about her life, that one person's life as a result of his forgiveness. What did he say to her? Sin no more. Go your way. Man, her life was changed. Her life was changed. And unfortunately, the Pharisees got the negative side of unforgiveness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians in your Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Generally, I'll just read out these scriptures, but you're welcome to follow along. You know, the devil uses the power of unforgiveness to defeat the believer. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, and I'm going to share the ESV version. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs, or King James says his devices, huh? Mm-hmm. You know, we use that verse, well, we got to be smart against the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices. Well, what's the context of with that is being said here? Forgiveness. Man, the power of forgiveness is huge. What was the purpose of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Yeah, forgiving us. He became the payment for us so that we could have remission of sin. So before God, we would be clean and pure before him, that we would have his righteousness. And boy, oh boy, when there's not forgiveness, there's great division. I'll tell you this story. My folks, my dad was a career military officer, 30 years. He retired in North Carolina. He developed some land property along the inland waterway on the coast of North Carolina. And a bunch of other retired folks joined in and had houses down there. They had a fantastic community. a bunch of folks getting together. They would have parties and picnics and stuff like that. Well, after about 15 years being down there, I was visiting. My mom took me aside. She says, I got to tell you something. Your dad is very, very mad at our neighbor. And that neighbor's very, very mad at your dad. They can't get along. They don't talk to each other. And it's caused havoc within the community here. You know what happened that spurred that ill feeling and messed up the community atmosphere? Well, one of them, I don't know who it was, they had to go up the road to get their newspaper because they were on a dirt road. And they'd have those little mailbox things, and the mailman would, or the newspaper guy, put them in there. Well, if somebody goes up there, they'll get the other person's newspaper and throw it on their doorstep. Well, somebody, my dad or the other guy, didn't do it one day, and the other got mad and said, why didn't you pick up my paper? Well, it's your paper. You get your own paper. And they couldn't get over this. Isn't that wild? All it took was, hey, I'm sorry. A simple solution, and that community would have been much better off. Wow. Well, you think of what God has done for his people. And the children of Israel, how would they handle this? Their mistakes that they had before God. How did they deal with that? They had sacrifices, right? They would, God set up these sacrifices, and they would do this, and as a result, their sins were forgiven. All right? A great act of forgiveness. So, Numbers 15. Numbers 15, 25. And I'm going to have, read this. And the priest shall make an atonement, a payment, for all the congregation of the children of Israel. And that was the priest's job to do this. And this was the act of doing sacrifices. But who was the ultimate sacrifice for man in all time?
Jesus
Christ. He was our Passover lamb. Psalms 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. How many of our iniquities are forgiven?
All.
This is God. That's what he does. This is his nature, is to forgive. The power of forgiveness changes lives. Verse 8 in Psalms 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that respect him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, how far is the east from the west?
They never meet.
They go on and on and on. That's God's heart. This is his nature. This is what he does, is to forgive. And what great power there is in forgiveness. It's a disarming bomb to our emotions. Because if somebody does something bad to us, what do? We get upset, we get mad, and we try to get back at them. The best thing we could do is forgive.
Yeah.
Forgive. You know, we can see this in the church epistles, Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 13. Take a look at that. You know, it's interesting, these verses, we're going to read a few verses here in the what is called the Pauline epistles, right? Romans through Thessalonians, and those in between. The Greek word for forgiveness or forgive is charizomaia. Now, obviously, you can tell I'm not a Greek scholar, not very good at pronouncing these words. But the point I want to make is the root word, charis, is grace, is the word for grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is undeserved favor. We don't deserve it, but God just unloads his blessings on us, right? It's by grace you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't earn the salvation we have. Our salvation, we have the power, the gift of the Holy Spirit, so big, you couldn't buy it. There's not enough money that you could buy something like that. But by grace, God's divine favor upon us. And that's what this forgiveness, this word comes from, that root there. Isn't that interesting? Well, Colossians 1:13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together. Quickened means made alive, together with him, having done what? Forgiving you how many trespasses?
All
trespasses, all the sins, all your mistakes. That's what God does. What should we do with one another?
All.
Same thing. In chapter 2, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. This is what we do. Boy, if we could get this sown, you know, there was an emphasis in the manifestations of the love of God, right? Mm-hmm. Boy, the love of God is manifested in that we forgive one another. And I think about what our Lord and Savior went through to pay the price so that we could have forgiveness. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There's an experience I had in my life a number of years ago talking about forgiveness. And this happened quite a few years ago. And I was involved in a basketball game. And we were in Las Vegas, playing the University of Las Vegas. They were much better than us. But we hung in there. We were giving them a game. We were thinking we can upset these guys. So there's about 5 minutes to go. I had two fouls on me. Two fouls. Now, how many fouls do you get? You got to sit down.
Five.
In the next several minutes, one referee called three fouls on me. Boom, boom. Every time we came down, we'd score. We'd come down there. The guy would get the ball. He'd drive on me or whatever, and they called me a foul. Boom, 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 three times. So I was upset. And I'm a pretty nice guy. I really am. I don't get mad or upset. In fact, when I was in high school playing, they did a news article about my playing. I scored a bunch of points and stuff, and they quoted the referee saying, "Bob Linfeld is the nicest basketball player we've ever worked with." I thought, boy, that's pretty nice. But that was going to change real quick. So I sat down. We lost the game. I was just stewing. I had to go say something to that guy. I was so upset. The buzzer went off. The game's over. Where is he? Oh, he's across the court. I ran over there, tapped on his shoulder, and I said, "Good game. Thanks for refereeing."
Good for you.
And I left.
Good for you.
Between that time, I was doing on the bench. Thankfully, I grabbed my mind. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
That kind of stuck. Not worth it. So I felt so good because I was really feeling bad and upset and emotional. And here we're in Las Vegas. This guy got paid off to get me out of the game. I had all kinds of stuff. But, hey, it's only a game. But I felt really good. I went into the changing room, and everybody was upset, and I was smiling, feeling good that I had overcome this battle of forgiveness or unforgiveness. There's a book in the Bible. We don't have time to look at it, but read it sometime. It's one of the shortest books in the Bible, Philemon. And if you're familiar, there's only one chapter with it. And it's a story of Paul contacting a good friend, Philemon, about a slave that used to be a slave for Philemon. And he had run away from Philemon and was in Italy. And Paul witnesses to him, gets him born again, and now he's writing to Philemon to receive Onesimus, is the guy's name, the slave, receive him as a brother in Christ. And isn't that a neat little story there? That would be in the Bible, illustrating that heart of forgiveness, you know, taking care of those issues by forgiveness. Pretty neat. Well, Ephesians is another place in the Bible that says in 4:32 in Ephesians, I'll read this to you, as believers we're called to be, and here's the quote, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God has forgiven us, thankfully. So we forgive one another. Man, the power of forgiveness. We got all kinds of stuff going on in our world. But if we would grab on to this principle, this power of forgiveness, things would be much, much better. The power of forgiveness can make a difference in so many ways, so many categories. You know, we do marriage counseling through the years. And you know the one big thing we say over and over again? Forgive. Deal with it. You've made mistakes with each other. Forgiveness. Forgive one another and mean it and move on. God doesn't remember him. Why? Because it's as far as the east is from the west, as high as you can go. So that should be our attitude, huh? That's it. That's the key to a successful marriage is forgiveness. In all the relationships and businesses, friendships, church fellowships, forgiveness makes all the difference in the world. You know what? Jesus Christ, while he was on the cross, he had just been tortured, beat up like no man has ever experienced. Here he's on the cross, dying, nailed to this cross. And he talks to his heavenly Father, and what does he say? He says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. He had that presence of mind to think of somebody else while he was suffering dearly for you and I. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what the heck they're doing. That's our Lord and Savior. And that's the power of forgiveness. So I trust that you've seen a little bit of what the power of forgiveness can do. And I want to encourage you to use it, okay? So what are you going to do this week?
Forgive.
Forgive. You're going to think about that. Keep that in the heart of your mind. Take action. Be forgiving. Be a man of God and forgive. Be a woman of God and forgive. Forgiveness is the ultimate love weapon. All right? Use it often. All right. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for how you've given so much to us, that by your grace and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have such a sweet relationship with you. And you don't look at the sins or our mistakes, because they were paid for already for what Christ did. And you just look at us with that Christ in us, so we can walk worthy of that, Father. And as we have relationships in so many different ways, we can be like you and have that power of forgiveness touch other people's hearts. So I pray that your people will see this bigger than ever before and can walk like this, Father. So we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.